This week's portion is Vayetze. I'm Rabbi Bert Vysotsky, the Nathan and Janet Appelman Professor of Midrash and Interreligious Studies at the Jewish Theological Seminary. This week's Torah reading, Vayetze, opens and closes with flights of angels accompanying our forefather Jacob, also known as Israel. Well, he won't get named that until next week. Our forefather Jacob, as he flees from and then returns to the Promised Land. When Jacob leaves, he's running in fear for his life. For our father Jacob has cheated his brother once too often, until his macho older brother Esau threatens to kill him. Of course, Esau isn't that much older. The two brothers are twins. But as any set of twins will tell you, the one who came first, even if by mere seconds, that one is the elder. We might assume, along with the Bible, that birth order matters. But Genesis is all about the younger supplanting the older, and we're on solid ground suggesting that this sibling rivalry stuff is at the very heart of this week's Torah lesson. Our biblical patriarchs famously upset birth order as they struggle for ascendancy over one another. Baby brother Isaac, 13 years younger than his half-brother Ishmael, assumed the mantle of covenant when he supplanted his elder. Jacob actually bought Esau's birthright for a bowl of lentils and then, through fraud, stole his father's blessing. It is the latter theft that made Esau see red. So, as our portion begins, Jacob flees to his mother's brother's family. The Torah regales us with how Uncle Laban served Jacob his just desserts when he changed his wages as a shepherd repeatedly. In a coup of measure-for-measure punishment, Laban deceptively marries Jacob off to weak-eyed Leah in place of her younger sister, the beloved, beautiful Rachel. Laban informs him, "We don't put the younger before the elder here." The Talmud works very hard to make the sisters Rachel and Leah complicit in Laban's deception of Jacob. It reports how Rachel explained to Jacob that her father would try to deceive him and give him Leah instead. Jacob, the Talmud says, tells her he's an old hand at deception. He doubts that Laban can pull the wool over his eyes. To be sure, however, Jacob gives his adored Rachel certain signs by which he can know that it is her and not Leah. Jacob cannot imagine that Rachel might have compassion for her elder sister. After all, he had not a shred of consideration for his older brother. And yet the Talmud tells us that Rachel actually supplied her sister Leah with the signs that Jacob had given her. Although Jacob thought he was betting Rachel, surprise, surprise, in the morning it was Leah. I love how the rabbis reread the Genesis account, not only to give Jacob his comeuppance, but to emphasize the love and sympathy sisters share with one another. It appears, if but for a brief moment, that the men of the Talmud understood women's emotional solidarity and even applaud it. Unfortunately, it's emphatically not the story that the book of Genesis tells us. There, Leah remains the hated sister, pitifully naming her sons after her varying states of emotional distress. Rachel, for her part, however beloved and pretty she may be, remains barren. In a society that values women for their offspring, Rachel, bereft of children, is reduced to begging her husband, quote, "Give me children or I'll die." Jacob, who remains as thoroughly unsympathetic to his family as he is to his descendants, that is, we who read about him, Jacob pushes her off and blames God for her abject state. It turns out that Rachel getting married is yet one more family tragedy. Throughout the Torah reading, the women compete for their husband's attention through sex and children. The competition is intense enough that each sister pathetically goes so far as to offer Jacob her handmaid as a way of providing more offspring and keeping his interest. By the end of the portion, Jacob has four wives, 11 sons, Benjamin will be born in next week's Torah reading, and many daughters, all unnamed except for Dina. We'll hear more about her next week as well. If you think that sibling rivalries have finally burnt themselves out, well, there's still a lot of Genesis to read. Jacob's sons, the tribes of Israel, are chips off the old block when it comes to supplanting one another. Reuben even goes so far as to supplant his father Jacob. You can see that next week in Genesis 35:22. As will be clear from this last paragraph, a great deal of the story is waiting to unfold next week. And next week we will experience the gathering of clans that we call Thanksgiving. Around our table we shall sit with siblings, parents, step-parents, half-brothers and sisters, children, stepchildren, the entire blended family of Israel. There may be those who are no longer invited to our tables. There are others whose absence we mourn. Each adult at the table carries within him or her secrets, resentments, family history, and, God willing, love. As we look around the table and recall our ancestors Jacob and his many wives and children, give thanks for what we have. All these generations after Jacob, we still are neurotic, dysfunctional. In other words, family. Rejoice with love that we are still here. Give thanks to God for all that we share. Shabbat Shalom. And happy Thanksgiving.